eat raw meat, I eat it raw. You better give me your beef, as I'll bust you in the jaw. Raw meat, raw meat.
Guys, gals, and non-binary pals, welcome to Stone Cold Shots, the wrestling podcast where the shots are cold and the takes are hot.
Muy picante.
Usually, we review and revisit a wrestling pay-per-view, or pape if you're nasty, but this is a bonus episode, a shotgun, if you will.
Shotgun!
Where, on these episodes, we're going to be taking a look at wrestling-adjacent medium, but not necessarily a pay-per-view. So it could be an episode of wrestling, could be an episode of Total Divas, maybe The Marine 5, starring The Miz and Becky Lynch.
Hopefully The Marine 5.
12 it's rounds?
Why don't we get into it, but first we are going to introduce ourselves, and why don't you guys do it with a rap?
My name's Josh Felix Pryor. I'm here to say I'm an internet darling in every way.
You stole my rap.
Perfect.
Now for lore.
All right.
You want me to lay down a beat for you?
Yeah, lay down a beat. My name is Lauren, and I'm here to say libraries are cool in a major way.
All right, cool. Two of the same raps.
I can't do another rap. What do you think I...
All right, so now here's Campbell, who's had a whole week to prepare his rap.
This is fucking bullshit. Let's hear this fucking masterpiece you've prepared. All the pressure's on you.
I'm Campbell, and I write the questions, so I could have prepared a rap, but I didn't.
Man, fuck you,
wow.
Campbell.
If you couldn't guess, we are going to be talking about GLOW, not the Netflix show starring Alison Brie, but Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling, specifically the pilot that was aired in 1986.
And boy, was it a lot.
Yeah, it was a lot. I came in with no expectations.
Right.
I haven't seen any GLOW before.
Have you watched the Netflix show?
Yeah, I've watched the Netflix show. And
yeah,
it was like,
so same here. And I feel like that gave like a little bit of a basis of like, okay, I kind of have an idea of like maybe what to expect.
Also, no, Campbell.
I did not.
Nope.
If you recall, Campbell, we also watched a documentary on GLOW.
We have watched the GLOW documentary that is also on Netflix. Very good. Definitely recommend checking that out.
But that gives us a little more context. Like, we knew that they do these really random music videos within...
It's not so much, like, I kind of had an idea of what the format would be and, like, the over-the-top characters and a lot of, like, you know, like, shitty 80s tropes and, like, you know, stereotypes. And,
yeah.
And I knew all that was coming, but the way it was... jammed into this 1 hour format and then like regurgitated onto my screen, I had no fucking idea what I was in for.
It's true. It was mainly how it was presented in such a choppy way. That was the most jarring part of it.
Jarring is a great word to describe.
I think I've seen like a few sort of like 80s matches, you know, like Macho Man Steamboat or Hogan versus Andre the Giant. And I feel like the wrestling here was kind of on par with what I expected. Like a lot of like snapmares, like a little bit of rest holds, like some spots, like not anything like as big or as showy, but
can I be honest with you? I was actually surprised in some cases on how like good the wrestling was. Like,
totally, yeah.
I thought it was going to be way worse than it was, and it was no knock on the women, but it was just like kind of like what I had been like kind of trained to expect.
Yeah,
from
same.
Women's wrestling in the 80s and the watching
women's
GLOW.
Wrestling and just 80s wrestling in general.
Yeah,
I generally have this idea that it's not as good, not as believable, and just like easier. Not as physically demanding. They aren't doing such like cool, flippy technical moves.
That's it. You're not expecting this like, you know, a technical masterpiece.
Sure.
But I was impressed too, though.
Yeah.
So yeah, the wrestling was kind of like more or less what I expected. The booking, the framing, the storylines. Is it, because I haven't watched enough 80s wrestling to really like know. Is it, Josh, like you have a little bit more of like an old school wrestling background than we do. Like, is this on par with like what 80s wrestling was like in general, or is this like even like for the time was just fucking crazy?
No, this is so fucking over the top. And like, you can go back and watch 80s wrestling, you know, and like Jake the Snake coming out with a snake in a bag.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Ultimate Warrior getting like locked in the Undertaker's casket and all yeah. that.
Cool.
I'm watching this and I'm like, what the fuck am I watching? Like, it's like it's all
so
like
what you're telling me is that Paul Orndorff never rapped about eating raw meat.
So much raw meat. I can't explain to
and
you.
Opera?
It was so weird. Yeah. Like there's like a 2 minute song just about raw meat.
It's yes. quite. It's like uncanny yeah. and off putting was the general feel for this. Tape
yeah
or episode yeah. I guess pilot
and the characters. So it's like, you know, where the 80s and the WWF and stuff had, you know, your kind of like your stereotype characters and a lot of like profession based characters.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say, is like a lot of profession yeah. like, oh, this guy's a cop, this yeah, guy's a garbage man.
This like, was like a lot of like really weird, like I don't know, like just like I was watching it and like they had
Matilda the Hun.
Matilda the Hun.
I want to, man, like, shout out to Matilda the Hun. Like, she seems like she is having the most fun out of everybody.
She was my favorite.
Yeah. Like, and she, so I was reading up on her, and, like, I remember this a little bit from the GLOW documentary that, like, Dee Boer, I believe her name is.
Yeah.
She was, like, she was one of the only women who, like, did a little bit of wrestling before GLOW. And it was a thing where, like, whatever, like, state gaming commission barred her from wrestling men. They wouldn't let her do it.
Crazy.
And it was, like, a carnival wrestling sideshow. Mm-hmm. So what she did instead of wrestling men, because they said that's not allowed, was she was literally a carnival sideshow where it was this woman would wrestle a 300-pound bear.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
What a time.
Yeah.
Poor bear.
You know, but, like, you get, like... The Matilda the Hun character yeah. who has the paperwork to prove that she's related, according to one of the announcers.
It's true. It's true.
Oh, it's damn true.
And then you transition that into a character called Jailbait.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And I was like, my jaw dropped.
Yeah.
And then she's like hanging out on a corner.
And she gets catcalled.
She gets catcalled. And then she
fucks up the car.
And then she fucks up. Like,
I was so confused in that moment. I was like, why is she named Jailbait? But then this is also kind of cool and feminist that she's attacking this car. I don't know how to feel.
What's his character?
Yeah.
Like, it was an absolute
She was like eating cereal.
I thought she had a jar full of quarters or something. Like, I didn't know.
She had like a box of cereal that she was eating. And pouring everywhere, and so then she threw it into the car.
We're actually, believe it or not, we're kind of jumping ahead here.
It's true, but so much is happening.
I feel like this episode is going to be a little bit like chaotic because the pilot is so chaotic.
So this is a pilot of a show where rather than doing an opening credits that introduces who the characters are, they just do an opening credits with a bunch of promos from people that we don't know that are largely food-based.
Yeah.
We have raw meat, we have ice cream, we have apple pie, we have pineapple,
yeah.
a lot of people talking about food.
Yeah.
And then we get this raw meat wrap, and then we get some more talking head promos. And I liked that these talking head promos were like all of the heels were like, I will take you out into the street and slit your throat and fucking murder you.
Well, some of them were really interesting.
They also said fuck.
Yeah, they said fuck
a lot. They said fuck.
Yeah.
Well, there was the American girl gimmick.
Americana.
I kind of love her.
And her thing was, I think girls should eat a banana split once a week.
Yeah.
This is
preferably red, white, and blue.
Yeah. Preferably red, white, and blue, which I didn't get, but I kind of got, but it didn't really make a lot of sense. Yeah.
My note is, Americana loves ice cream. It's dumb, but she knows it.
Yeah, we have these talking head promos where they say fuck, the heels say they're going to murder people, the faces just talk about food.
Salt
yeah.
Looks like Samantha from Sex and the City.
Oh, good call.
So much. And that's how she speaks, too.
One of the promos was like, I love to eat anything I can get my mouth on.
I know. Yeah. There's so much sexual innuendo that they lean into so that's hard it. With and, these ladies.
And these were all fast cuts, so I'm like trying to take notes. Of what they're saying, and I couldn't even keep up.
Yeah.
One of them thought the other's sweat was delicious.
There was someone who was talking about attractive men in Africa.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, they all travel to Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay. But then it didn't lead anywhere. And then, like, you know, it's like, some people said I should send her flowers. yeah, right, I'll send her flowers when I kill her, yeah, and then I'll send it to the her funeral. Like,
yeah, I was like, that was Royal Hawaiian saying
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
perfect.
I love her, and we'll get into that later.
And then we get, as if all of this wasn't confusing enough, we have our host slash commentator slash MC introducing the main event of Matilda the Hun versus Tammy Jones.
Who prays for her little brother to walk again after his horrible car accident.
Yeah. Which is the thing that, like, this is the pilot of the show. And I kind of love that they're the, like, it's a thing where they're just treating it like this is, like, the 70th episode of this show. That, like, they're just like, they're like, yeah, fuck it. You've been following these characters. You know what these storylines are.
You know what's up. And he's and in the hospital.
Yeah.
He's got braces on his legs for whatever reason. They yeah. just came off today. Which in my head is a good thing, but everybody's praying for us.
Yeah, and Tammy Jones looks like she's like 14, but she's clearly like 28.
Super gross.
The whole yeah. gimmick is fucking disgusting. We'll get into that.
We'll get into it.
And then they're like in they're in a casino.
They're,
I
in,
guess.
A hotel
they're in a hotel
lobby
where they shoot all of this at the Rivera Hotel,
yeah. and everybody gets out of the limo.
Yeah,
like coming into the venue,
and it's like all the faces are hanging out together, and all the heels are hanging out together.
I kind of love this.
And they get into this yeah. big. Like schmoz, and it like it does hype the main event really well. That,
yeah,
like, in very classic Carney wrestling shit.
Sure, and it's yeah. like saying that, like, you know, this Tammy, she's so distraught about her brother, she's not even going to fight tonight.
Yeah. yeah,
like she's out of the main event.
She
picture.
Barely fights anyone in this hotel confrontation.
She's just crying.
She's just crying.
And
she's
just crying. The like and suited commentator is just like hugging her and being yeah. like, "Looks like we got a great card tonight, yeah. folks."
And she's just weeping into his shoulder, yeah. like.
And then the Hun comes over
and just grabs her hair.
She's still rapping about meat on the way over.
Yeah,
eat raw meat. I like it raw. If you don't give me raw meat, I'll punch you in the jaw.
Raw meat.
And then she's like, "Oh, you're not getting out of this like that." And then she like grabs her by the hair.
Yeah.
So I don't even know if she's in the main event.
Yeah.
But then it cuts away,
and now we get the like montage of who all of the wrestlers are,
which I loved this.
Oh, it was great. But it's like, why didn't you like? I could have used this 15 minutes ago.
Yeah, totally. But I
give me
this
some
was,
context.
Honestly,
here.
This montage of who everybody is
yeah.
in like 20-second segments. Yeah. Was my favorite part of the whole fucking thing.
So we have, I tried to write down everything. We have Tina, aka yeah. Ivory.
Oh, that's Ivory?
Excuse yeah. me?
She, what? So Tina is one of the wrestlers in GLOW who is one of the only women who like progressed to a wrestling career afterwards outside of this.
I knew Ivory was in GLOW,
yeah.
but I didn't know. It was like, I thought so that Tina is like Kelly Kapowski looking.
Yeah, very Kelly Kapowski. yeah, so she wrestles as Ivory in WWF later. She's women's champion. She fights China at
Hall
WrestleMania
Famer.
17.
Oh,
she's a Hall of Famer.
That's
yeah.
really cool.
So she does this like little change room bit with like kind of a like Lucchesian star wipe.
I love that.
We have Royal Hawaiian, who's just like looking real jacked, baby. Looking
honestly, she's one of my faves.
And she's yeah. lifting some like hilarious looking weights.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah. what are those weights even?
She has the best promos.
We've got Ashley, who's in a bubble bath yeah. with like two hot men.
Sorry,
toweling
Ashley's
her down.
My girl. She's like got this like boys music video.
Very
feel.
boys. Shouts
She's
out to Sabrina.
In this giant bathtub slash pool.
Yeah.
She gets out. She's in like a towel and yeah. she's just looking straight ahead while these men in black Speedos towel her off.
That's she's living the life.
I was like, she's my favorite one. Yeah. I don't even know if she fucking fights, but she's my favorite one.
Next, she does.
They have Americana who's
in like a sequin cape
yeah,
on
but
a
like
roof.
She was, yeah, she's hella lifted up yeah. to the rooftop yeah. of the Riviera in this Ric Flair-esque Americana. It yeah. didn't make any sense. I was like, what's
that's
she
why
doing
she's
up there?
My favorite.
Yeah. Spanish Red, who's like somewhere between like flamenco and cabaret.
She's
like
bullfighting with her cage.
She kind of yeah. looks like a character from Chicago.
I love her.
She is awesome.
California Doll, who is in the bed of like the creepy dolls from that one episode of Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
She looks like it's a picture, but she's just holding this really yeah. creepy smile with all these dolls
and
like this
like treasure,
ass shot. And it was so weird.
There's like treasure trolls by her. Yeah. Like, I was like, what's going on?
Yeah.
It was a disturbing shot in the midst of all these cool promos.
Yeah. We already talked about Jailbait getting catcalled.
fuck.
Wreck in the car. And then we have Salt, who's just kind of dancing on stairs
She's
at the
mall. She's
just
a dancer.
Salt dancing?
Salt is a dancer.
All right, so we get into the first match. So we have a few tag team matches and then our main event. So the first tag team match is Spanish Red and Royal Hawaiian versus Americana and California Doll.
In other words, America versus minorities.
Absolutely. And like, and the way the cuts worked, so like we went right from these montages and it was like right to the action.
Yeah.
Like it was just like no break. And,
well, and they have these talking head promos over the entrances.
It was the weirdest like pop-up video kind of like, you know, it's like these things would come up all match and they wouldn't have any context.
Yeah.
It's weird. Like I kind of like them because they give me some kind of context for their character, but they're so distracting.
They're so distracting. And like some of them would be talking about like the type of men they like.
I know.
And like some of them would be talking about like why they didn't like the other person.
And like one of them, like Spanish Red or whatever the fuck her name is constantly talking about what is America and what an American woman likes.
This is like,
and like this is
the funniest
what I don't like about America.
Yeah. And this is like the most, I think, like antiquated thing about this is that it's like in modern day, like Americana would be a heel and Spanish Red would totally be like the immigrant underdog just trying to make it.
Well, there's a line right off the hop from Americana. She says, "You're an American now. I want to hear you speak English.
It was rough.
I was like, yikes.
Well, and I like, my favorite thing about this is that like Spanish Red does this little talking head promo where she's like, "I'm fine with America and I like America. I just don't get apple pie." And
boo! It's like,
so as far as I can understand with all of the food talk so far, is that this entire feud is based off of apple pie.
Yeah. And then Spanish Red hits a really nice looking leg lock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I was really impressed. Some pretty good moves this match.
Yeah. I said that too. Pretty good.
I really liked, like, I felt like the set design was really good. Like, I liked the pink ring ropes. It's, like, very obviously in sort of, like, a hotel theater. Like, it really gave it its own feel.
Yeah, like, so that the is nice like, glow sign behind and, yeah, and neon totally. Was kind of cool.
It's,
you know?
Yeah.
It's very distinct from, I think, like, in the way that, like, a lot of wrestling now looks very similar. Like, if you look at, like, NXT or Ring of Honor, like, all of these things, like, kind of look more or less the same. Like, this very much has its own aesthetic. And,
absolutely.
Like, I appreciate that sort of forethought of, like, we're producing a TV show.
Yeah.
And let's give this a look to this TV show. And I think a lot of the camera work is really interesting where they get those, like, really close-up angles. Like, when they're doing these, like, spots in the corner and it's, like, up like right under them, you know.
Yeah. A lot of cool cuts and like they had like the slow motion
I
shots
love the
too.
Slow motion
and
bits.
I thought that added to it because it like it made it feel more of a show than an actual wrestling match.
Yeah.
Which I feel like they're trying to like walk the line in between those two things.
Yeah.
Right? Which I appreciated. The commentary for this match though, holy shit.
I can't believe they had one guy, this like very keen little guy
doing
all of the commentary.
He was talking about Spanish Red. She's like, "She loves bullfights and hot sauce."
Yes! What the fuck was that?
I'm like,
you know what? Same.
Yeah, me too, though.
I love all of the really, like, very weird and off-kilter ways they sexualize them, but, like, in the most obvious and, like, hokey ways.
It's really weird and
it's
like
almost endearing.
It's
like
almost?
It's kind of it makes it forgivable to me how fucking aware they are in a way.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's right or not.
I don't know if it's right because it was such a weird anomaly to watch, right? Like being from like 2019 and going back and watching this, it's like this would never exist.
Yeah.
Like this would be blown off the face of the earth. You know, but like the commentary is like, he also said, Royal Hawaiian, big fan of flowers.
Yeah.
Like just these random quips like within the match.
And I love like, all of like Royal Hawaiian's like little promos that they do with like her fucking talking heads that pop up are always like, she has this really raspy sort of like sexy voice, sure. And she's kind of beautiful in a weird way, and she's just like, yeah, I'm just gonna fuck him up, like whoever comes at me, I'm gonna fucking break their arm and we'll see how they feel after, like,
and,
whatever, you
know. And she was getting like legit like kind of wrestling promos.
She was totally legit wrestling promos, legit ish wrestling, like she was like the tank in the match. Totally. And
I very much felt like Americana and California Doll were kind of whatever, but I thought like Royal Hawaiian and Spanish Red both worked heel very, very well. Yeah. As much as like I was totally rooting for Spanish Red as like the underdog immigrant character.
Well, as one of the pop-up videos said, she always wanted to be a missionary.
Yeah.
That's what she said. She's like, I just wanted to be a missionary.
Yeah.
And then she says, but like, I just didn't. I lost
my way.
She says something like, yeah, now my job's a little different or something.
And then we get the most buck wild shit of slow motion.
Yep.
As Royal Hawaiian goes for this kind of like spear tackle in the corner.
Yeah.
And it's slow motion with like sound effects.
Yeah.
There's
also this like amazing spot. Like that lasts for a crazy long time where I think Royal Hawaiian is like, she's stretching Americana's legs between the turnbuckle, like
the wishbone spot.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, that's what they mentioned, the wishbone spot.
Yeah,
many, many times.
Oh, yeah. Forgive me.
No, it's okay.
Yeah,
and fucking Americana is screaming at the top of her fucking lungs, and that's something that I really noticed in this entire pilot. Was how much these girls are literally screaming, like just screeching in pain. And it was, I was shook because of that. And I was invested. I think that lended itself to like me being into the match more because even though the wrestling was okay, they were so committed and they were just screaming. And I was like, oh my God, she's been screaming for like 2 minutes now.
I think that says something too. It's like, these aren't like trained at the performance center.
No.
Like, you know, it's like, these are women that are like going out there. There's like, you know, maybe one or two women who come in who actually know what they're doing and like, you know, and they're training all these other women. And like these women are like giving believable acts. They're like, you know, like they're doing their fucking best out there.
Like the most that Charlotte and Becky give us is like, or like they'll make like a really aggravated in pain face. But these fucking girls are fucking wailing.
Totally.
It's like, it brings it to, it like hits me in my heart when they scream like that. Cause you don't hear that often. Mm-hmm.
Raw Hawaiian wins with the Hawaiian Crush.
There's a lot that happened in between here. The slowest count ever.
Counts are so off. Like they're really slow, sometimes they're really fast.
Painfully slow. So Spanish Red had her in the Spanish press, which is kind of like
just a crotch jam.
Is she
kind
of like humping her a little bit?
That was a horse riding as it was described.
Right. Yeah.
But like, and the ref was just there. And then he was like, I think he counted a one. And then like
it was
3
like,
seconds would go by.
It was
by.
Like when Spanish Red lifted herself, it's like he wasn't counting that time.
It was ridiculous.
He only counted it when she rammed her pelvic into her
pelvis.
Exactly.
So he was like lining up his hand with her thrusts.
Yeah.
And then like there's a lot of like butt kicking in that. In that
yeah,
match.
The butt kicking was really weird.
Like it was just weird butt kick. And then of course a lot of hair pulling.
Yep.
And then, like, of course, the classic.
I thought
80s
Spanish
move.
Red did a pretty good job with the hair pulling, like, kind of behind the back when
that
she
was
had her in
spot.
The headlock. Like, it was really, really good heel heat.
Yeah, and it's like, there's one spot where, like, they picked, I think it was Americana, up into an airplane spin.
Yes!
And a Hawaiian got a couple spanks on her butt before the airplane spin, and then she did the airplane spin.
Yeah.
Anyway, there was a lot going on this match. I was
this
trying
was
to keep
really
up.
This was a really long match.
It was and like super long match.
To their credit, the crowd seemed into it. I don't know like how much of it was like post-production, like cheers kind of piped in.
Yeah.
But like every time they cut to the crowd, it looked like people were like really giving her.
Yeah, I would too, honestly. It looks like a really entertaining show.
Totally, yeah. So Royal Hawaiian wins with the Hawaiian Crush. We get a little bit more slow-mo, and we get like this theme song kicking in.
Or
like,
something. I don't know.
It's this sweet 80s synth pop.
There's like no precedent for anything that's happening. It's like,
audio-visual battery that we're all experiencing.
It's great. Do we get a bald heads rating for this?
I'm going to be honest with you. I was just trying to keep up with the Smash TV style. I didn't even have time. But if like in retrospect, if I'm thinking about it, I got to give that a 3 bald head for what it was.
Yeah, you know like perfectly like, adequate.
Absolutely. There's a lot of stuff happening, but I think the match itself, the story they were telling, and some of the unique kind of butt kicks and stuff like that, I liked it.
It was one of my favorite matches of the night.
Yeah.
So we move on to a little behind the scenes of Salt and Pepper, who are a tag team.
Now,
but they're fighting over clothes.
Yeah, so what we have here is the classic girl conundrum where Salt is borrowing, in quotation marks, Pepper's clothes without asking her, and Pepper is not okay with this.
Also, their name is Salt and Pepper, and I mean,
one of them's white and one of them's black. Guess which one's Salt and which one's Pepper.
So this is very 80s, and so this is a dress fight that spills out from the like a backstage segment, into their entrance,
and then is it Peppa no sells a bottle shot?
She breaks a bottle over Pepper's head.
Yeah.
And it just no sells. It keeps going. And then they roll into the ring.
Yeah.
I love that fucking bottle shot is just part of their entrance.
Yeah, no, it's good. It, like, it's what just like,
I thought, it was insane. I thought it was going to turn
into a singles match.
So did I.
That's what I had. Right?
And they just get
match,
over it.
Yeah. And then Sarah and Mabel looking like sex dungeon gimps.
Yeah, wearing potato sacks over their head.
Come out and start choking them out with chains.
Yeah.
Which I was really into.
It was so cool. Also, the crowd went fucking nuts for that.
Yeah, and then there's a racist comment that will not be repeated on this podcast.
Yeah.
Directed towards Pepper.
No, it was bad.
But they look at each other. Salt and Pepper look at each other.
Yeah.
And in a moment, the clothes, the dress, none of that matters.
Yeah.
It's like, do you want to get these bitches?
Yeah.
Right? And like they
They're
go
like,
out.
Fuck yeah, I want to get these bitches.
And then they team up. They bring their powers together.
Yep.
And they start attacking Mabel and Mildred or whatever their names are.
Sarah and Mabel. Sarah is the stronger one.
And then this isn't even really a match. It kind of just spills to the outside. There's a pretty gnarly chair shot where
oh my God.
They like smash a wooden chair
over
Pepper.
It looks like a sturdy wooden chair.
Yeah, it was like slow-mo. They got the camera going for it. Chair just fucking explodes.
That was way more than I expected of Glow. I was like, what the fuck?
EC dub.
And then a cam out.
We also got a table.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's
there's true. A table spot where they only film the table. They don't film the actual move. I think it was like kind of a Samoan drop, but like
kind of a fall through.
Yeah.
You know, fall away slam.
And then there's a count-out win, but everybody was outside the ring, so I don't know why they won.
Listen, you're focusing way too much on the rules.
And Salt and Pepper make up, and Salt says that Pepper can borrow whatever clothes she wants.
It was... I couldn't imagine a better ending to that story.
I don't know. I really liked it.
Like, look, it wasn't about food, and that's the least we can ask for at this point.
Honestly, I like the gimmick of like two friends who are like constantly bickering, but they can overcome the odds when they team up together.
They overcome the odds to fight racism.
Yeah.
It told a really sweet story in a short amount of time against a couple of old racists.
Yeah.
So I think that's something we can all get behind.
Hell yeah. How many bald heads did that get?
You know what? Like I'm going to make it up on the spot. Like two.
Okay.
Just
because of the chair spot, the slow-mo chair shot.
It's true. Yeah. That was real.
Yeah. So next up, we have another tag team match. We have Hollywood and Vine, which I think is a joke about an intersection.
Yeah, it's definitely a clever joke.
Yeah. Like, because they're like
Hollywood and Vine, yeah.
Hollywood and Vine, like, their gimmick is that they're like street rat, like street kids. And I think,
got that because they said that every chance.
Yeah, and
they
so
got
like
it.
Hollywood and Vine is like a like less than savory intersection in LA.
Yeah.
LA.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they're accompanied by Aunt Kitty.
Yeah.
And they're fighting Tina and Ashley.
I had a really hard time figuring out who was face and heel in this match.
So, again, so this is another one of these things where it's a little antiquated, where you have Beverly Hills versus like the streets, right? Like that's how they build it.
I think, oh, obviously Beverly Hills is like the face, but then they weren't.
No, Tina and Ashley were definitely the faces.
They were supposed to be, but they were pretty unlikable.
Were like very much the faces, and because Hollywood and Vine were
jailbait.
Yeah, they accompany Matilda the Hun and her rat.
Yeah, that was one of the only indicators I got was like, oh, I get it. They're part of this heel faction.
And so this is a thing where, like, once again, under a modern lens, like, if you booked this today, it would be, like, Stone Cold versus McMahon. Like, the everyman versus the billionaire, where, like, Hollywood and Vine would be the faces and Tina and Ashley would be the heels.
The confusing part was the announcing. And, right. like, this is where it got, like, really muddied, right? Because it's like, this isn't a fashion show.
Yeah.
You know, they kept on coming out. Like, oh, look at her. Look at Tina coming out.
She's showboating.
She's kissing and flirting with all the boys out here.
That was really funny when they were, like, fucking, like, sat down in some guy's lap in the audience.
I thought that was funny, too. But that's why I had a hard time with it. I was like, they're being dumb bitches. Like, who is...
Exactly. And, like, the announcer kept on saying, he was like... You know, this isn't a fashion show. This is a wrestling match.
Yeah, he was really, right? like, yeah. not down with them, yes. but they were the faces.
Exactly.
So, yeah, we have a pretty standard, like, sort of, like, Hollywood and Vine, like, trying to cheat, like, sort
this
of...
This is a standard.
This is very standard. I did really like, they cut to, like, a bunch of little old ladies in the crowd.
I literally had this nice random shot of some olds in the crowd.
Some olds. I really like that. Like, that really brought home how much they're just, like, filming in a hotel casino.
Sure. So much. I love it.
This wasn't a technical masterpiece, but, like, you know what? Like, but, like, the crowd was going nuts.
They were losing it. Also, when Aunt Kitty starts beating up the announcer.
For no reason.
What the fuck is happening? They didn't solve that. She just goes up and attacks him, and then she just kind of leaves him alone. What is happening?
Yeah. Like, it's like, what's happening here?
He just continues announcing.
Yeah.
Nah.
He's announcing as she's hitting him.
He's a professional.
Nah. Like, there was a really fun spot in here where, like, Tina kind of goes for a pin, but she does, like, a pose while she's pinning, and then... Hollywood or Vine, whoever it is, kind of like uses that pose to counter into a pin of their own.
Yeah, she used her legs.
It was a back and forth, back and forth, where they kept on coming in.
Very shades of Johnny Gargano, you know?
Oh my God.
Johnny Wrestling. It reminded me of DIY versus a Revival, this match.
Yeah.
But yeah, they had like a double butt kick spot in this match. A lot of butt kicks throughout the whole show.
We got a pretty decent like second rope axe handle, but like Vine misses and hits Hollywood instead.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Yeah.
Tina punches or pinches the ref's butt.
What?
You guys didn't see this?
No.
So Tina, like, after like Irish whipping, I think it was jailbait.
No, jailbait's not in this match, dude.
Why do you keep saying that?
Anyway, Tina. Tina, like, pinches the ref, and, like, she's whipping Hollywood and Vine.
Yeah.
And, she goes in for a butt pinch on the ref.
That's awesome. So weird. I didn't see that.
Yeah, and then it was robo time.
Yeah. Mm. The robot was, like, a very Attitude Era Dudley's kind of stuff,
it.
I felt. Like,
I really liked it.
You know?
Yeah, it was like, but, like, everybody was, like, writhing in pain.
Yeah.
But again, the camera work.
It also very much felt like this thing where it's just like, all right, we're going to get some shots of these ladies spreading their legs.
I know. Like, I was just like, they're very bendy.
Yeah. So Tina and Ashley eke out the win.
Yeah, huge victory. It was a roll up?
Yeah.
And then we cut right to Hun loving American meat.
Yeah, we get a reprise of the raw meat rap.
That's right.
Tammy Jones also gets like an "I'm a little wrestler."
Ew!
Rap.
It was so awful.
Yeah.
It was so awful. So her thing is just, she's a child?
I guess.
She's just a buff child.
It's a weird fetish thing.
I'm
100% hate it.
Sure. Yeah.
It's disgusting.
It was gross.
Yeah.
But then the fans, you got to the fans chanting, raw meat, raw meat, raw meat.
Steaks and weights.
Which is totally a thing where it's like, I think speaks to the like charisma of Matilda the Hun, that like she's supposed to be like the big heel of this entire promotion, and the crowd is so down with raw meat. Like.
but they both get, like, so like the match starts, and the announcer is saying that Tammy's in a state of depression.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's like she doesn't have her wits about her. She's in a state of depression right now, and then
well. Hang on, we're jumping ahead a lot. Yeah,
I don't want to jump too far ahead.
I want to say this match starts with Tammy praying in the corner.
Okay.
Literally praying with her hands.
Matilda the Hun attacking her while she's praying, which I felt was very reminiscent of the scene in Nacho Libre where
oh my God.
Where Ramses attacks Nacho while he's eating watermelon.
Campbell!
Can we talk about Tammy selling for a second? Tammy, so like this, like she's wearing like a lacy top. She's got her hair done up in like kind
pigtails with ribbons.
Yeah. Exactly. This is a very fetish character.
It's disgusting. Yeah.
And she's selling like the beatdown by throwing a tantrum and making baby sounds.
It was very Alexa Bliss. Like, when Alexa doing that shit.
That's why I hate when Alexa does that.
Yeah,
I hate
gross.
Infantilizing is just the worst.
It was over the top, though. Yeah. Like, it was. She actually sounded like a baby.
Yeah.
Like, it was really disgusting.
Yeah. One of my favorite things in the beginning of this match is the commentator says, Matilda the Hun is the strongest woman in women's wrestling. And in men's wrestling.
I know! That was amazing. That, like, beat where he's just like, you know what?
Yeah.
Also this.
I'm saying it.
I was trying to figure out the internal logic of, like, is he saying that she is stronger than any of the men in men's wrestling? Or was he saying that she is the strongest woman in men's wrestling?
He should have brought up the bear.
Yeah, he totally should have brought up the bear. Matt Stryker would have brought up the bear.
100% he would have.
So then can we do the...
We can
talk about this beautiful scene that happens.
It's all like, you.
Tammy's little bro walks out.
Yeah.
He's got his
Johnny
little,
Jones.
He's got his little fucking crutches or whatever, but he comes out walking, and he fucking does this, like, little strongman, like, shakes his fist, like,
gives her the
fuck her up.
Yeah. Fist pump.
Go get
hey,
her, tiger.
Sis, fuck her up. And then Tammy's like, fucking yeah! She's
and then, like,
rejuvenated.
Popeye the Sailor Man. Yeah. Tammy, who's been getting her fucking ass kicked all goddamn match, this triumphant music comes over.
Yeah. It's basically Chariots of Fire.
It's so much.
Pretty much. She gets up, and then it's like slow motion. Yeah.
She has him like, bum, 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 bum,
bum, bum.
One thing that I noticed
Tammy comes.
One thing that I noticed about this, like, face comeback, because, like, the face comeback's a thing, right? Like, Daniel Bryan has his face comeback.
Yeah.
One thing I noticed about this face comeback is it involved a lot more biting than most face
comebacks. I literally wrote this, so much illegal shit. Tammy bites Matilda's nose for, like, 3 minutes.
That's that fire. That's the fire they talk about.
Tammy bites Matilda a whole bunch and then hits a second rope crossbody and wins.
Fuck.
Not a belt, the glow tiara.
Yeah, so it was like slow-mo
and
headbutts.
Some roses.
Like, you forgot the slow-mo headbutts into her stomach repeatedly.
Yeah.
Into her stomach. Anyway, she wins the match.
A
dozen roses.
A dozen roses, and then the entire roster comes out and is like, no, fuck you, that crown's mine. And it ends in this huge fight.
Fucking calamity.
Except and then, Tammy is not actually fighting. She's just standing there looking like, oh.
Yeah.
And then whoopsie Tammy, need a boo-boo.
And then the commentator, he's like trying to hype up like the next episode, and he's like, introducing Nanochka, the Russian.
Yeah.
And then he says, my favorite thing.
Next week, the Oriental Tag Team, Chopsticks.
Oh, no. I didn't even...
I hate this.
I stopped paying attention.
It's so bad.
This is the most 80s thing I've ever watched. Like, no self-awareness.
I think it's... The thing is, though, I feel like it's super self-aware.
I don't think so.
It doesn't... I think it is, but I don't think it makes it okay. Like, they're definitely exploiting the racism.
Yeah. Well, I think aspects of it are self-aware. Like, I feel like the women are, like, probably feeling very empowered doing that.
Totally.
That's not what I mean. I feel like they're being incredibly over the top in their racist comments and incredibly over the top in their sexism and exploitation of women's bodies. But
they're also doing that with like the gimmicky characters and stuff like that. But it's not like the lack of self-awareness, I feel, is like you can't actually say that. Like, it's not good. Like, it's not a good kind of...
Absolutely not. Like,
no, but like there's a disconnect.
I just feel like they knew that what they were... Like, it's so over the top. The only thing I can say is that it is crazy that, like, Americana is a face when she's saying what she's saying. But what she's saying is so overtly, stupidly racist that...
But that was, like...
But I guess the fact that she is posed as as a face, sorry.
Like, that was actually... It's like, no, we're going to get people to cheer her because, like, the other girl's actually speaking Spanish.
Yeah.
Like, but that worked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess it's the fact that it works that's upsetting, and that's how they present it. But I feel like they're aware, like, and they're just using it.
Like, and like some stuff where like they get it and they're exploiting it, and maybe other stuff it's like they're just being expletive. Like,
there's no way that they have a woman saying, "I think a woman should eat one banana split a week, preferably red, white, and blue." There's no way that woman doesn't know that that's the most hokeyest shit she could possibly say.
But I feel like there's like a gross guy in the back that maybe feels like it's like, oh yeah, that'll get men going. So he's writing these like really shitty scripts.
Yeah,
a Mark Maron type.
That's
if you
fair.
Will.
That's fair. It's like they're catering to the racist, the racism in the audience.
So I'd like to believe like that they're smarter and better than the situation, but I also don't totally buy that they're
exploiting. They're exploiting the bad racism of the crowd and the sexism and
So that was the pilot of Glow.
Fuck.
Did you, this was so breakneck and buck wild. I don't know. Did we have high spots and botch spots?
I did not.
Yeah. I had trouble just keeping up.
Honestly, like, it's an hour long on YouTube, people.
Yeah.
Just type in pilot Glow. Watch it yourself. Imagine trying to take notes during this thing as it goes on. It's not possible.
We can agree that the botch spots are all the racism and infantilizing.
Totally. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And I feel like the high spot for me is actually the quality of the wrestling.
Yeah.
The surprisingly good quality of the wrestling during this event. And it's like not trained, like, in, again, like a performance center or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But like they're putting on good matches.
Yeah.
So, that for me is the high spot.
Yeah.
Also, the music videos.
Yeah. Like, at the end, as much shit we've talked about, like, how crazy this is, like, at the end of the day, I 100% would watch more Glow.
Totally.
Like, it is crazy. And so I know, like, right now, like, one of the guys who's involved with Glow has a new wrestling promotion, Women of Wrestling. Wow. And that has, like, Tessa Blanchard and, like, a bunch of, like, really, really great female wrestlers. I haven't watched any of it yet, but it's, like, something that I've been meaning to tune into. And maybe we will discuss on a future episode because, like, I think we need to do more women's wrestling.
So, absolutely.
We will always have polls going on our Facebook page of pay-per-views to watch. So if you are someone who is like really into Stardom or Shimmer, like, get in those suggestions because we do want to do a lot more like women's wrestling.
If you're in New Zealand and you have a good suggestion
for
that you've seen.
So I think that's going to do it for us today. We're already getting into the plugs. You can subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts. Give us those reviews, those 5 stars or 5 bald heads, if you will.
Please give us 5 bald heads.
Yeah.
Like us on Facebook.
Yeah.
Facebook.com/StoneColdShots.
Instagram.
Stone Cold Shots.
Probs.
Stone Cold Shots.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
What?